difficult to clean out from underneath your fingernails once you put it in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Ollie's at the Wheel. We are having a wonderful evening and afternoon, and I'm joined by two very, very beautiful boys, Nathan Adler and Carl Pierce. My friends, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. Having a great time, just enjoying the beautiful weather.
Good. And Carl?
Yeah, nice day. It's all good, apart from I've got to work all weekend, but, you know, beside that.
Oh, that's not very good. So I wanted to open this podcast with a question for both of you. In your lifetime, what do you think is the most likely, the worst illness you would ever get?
Physical or mental?
Let's say both for now.
Okay, both. I reckon probably like, what's that disease where you constantly feel like you're on fire?
Gangrene? I don't know.
No, I don't know either. It was from an episode of House. The person always thought they were burning.
That sounds pretty horrific.
Yeah, probably that, I reckon. If I was a betting man, that's where I'd put my money. Some sort of like jungle fire fever.
We'll probably get on like a house on fire. Carl, what for you?
God knows, leprosy probably.
I guess it is quite prevalent in Florida at the minute, which is where you're most likely to retire. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think I'll probably get amnesia because I always kind of forget things and I forget what I've said. So with that.
That was pretty terrible. I mean, it's inconvenient, but I wouldn't say it was, you know, terrible.
I mean, it would be quite sad to forget, you know, the names and the faces of my grandkids. Or children.
That's more like dementia than amnesia.
Yeah, that's more like amnesia. Amnesia is like when you just get a whack on the head, which you are very likely to get whacked on the head. So
both
apply.
Especially with the rallies I go to be fair. But with that, speaking of rallies, the protests are over at Man United, and it is all sunshine and happiness again. So let's go up north, shall we? So you guys beat Burnley.
Yeah, the mighty Burnley.
Was that entire thing just a preface for that protest joke?
No, that was me being very funny and innovative.
Right. I was going to say it was a long walk.
Actually, yeah, I planned that out completely.
Is that descripted for weeks, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a descriptive podcast we've been working on, Nathan.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But, every word is planned.
Imagine how bad we'd be without a script, listeners.
I know. Every bit is scripted. Even our names are phonetically spelled out just for Carl.
Yeah.
It still doesn't help.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't. Can you see? Oh, no, you now say company. You can't really fuck that up, to be honest.
Cock and a hey.
Jesus.
Cock and any.
Cock and any.
I'm trying to say it really badly, and that's like the best I could do.
But yes, Liam, we did beat Burnley.
He did, yeah. Who looked like they're probably going to be relegated.
They are very bad. Even though, and everyone I saw on Twitter or X or wherever was like, oh, they played amazing. They completely bossed Man United, which, if anything, I think I said to you guys, is more worrying for Burnley.
It really is.
It was a back four consisting of Johnny Evans and Victor Lindelof. Like, Lindelof's very good, but Johnny Evans is 58. So, and for all of their shots that just wildly landed in the car parks, like they didn't really get anywhere near scoring.
I mean, they had the same amount of shots on target as you, to be fair.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they were any good.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta put some of them away. At least we put one away, two technically, but one was ruled out for some bullshit offside decision.
In the Premier League? No way.
No way. You're crazy.
But yeah, you had a lot of injuries, particularly in defence this time. So, Varane's injured. Lisandro Martinez is injured. Is someone else injured as well?
Varane's back. He played.
Yeah, Varane played midweek, didn't he?
Oh, okay. Yeah. But for this game, he was injured, right?
Yeah, he wasn't available for this game, I don't think. At least not starting anyway.
He might have been on the bench,
but yeah, he might have come on. I think he might have come on at some point in the second half, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he certainly didn't start.
A real expert would check, but we're not going to.
Yeah, I can't be fucked.
Oh God.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
Yeah.
So I'm probably wrong.
But I do find it quite funny. But he did come on. I just checked now. It's funny that he's come back from injury now, and now
someone else is injured. It's typical.
Injured. So who the fuck is going to play left back?
Well, on Tuesday, Amberat played left back, and
I know it was only
Crystal Palace, but he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it was sort of like some sort of inverted role. Really, which I imagine is what we'll do this weekend, or we'll either put him there or Lindelof, I guess. You could play Varane, Maguire and Lindelof as a back three and have Amrabat and Dalot as wing backs, maybe. I don't know. It'd be fun to find out. Everyone listening already knows. So you know what? Tell us. Because we're coming at you from the past.
Wait, that's what he did? Wow.
Oh my God, he put Rashford at right back. Inspired by Gareth Southgate.
No wonder we lost 2-1. No wonder we won 3-1. You can just edit it.
Sancho's back.
Just edit it. Yeah, Sancho turned up for Crystal Palace. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, he ran on the pitch with a steel chair.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan was screaming in heaven. Oh, who's the third man? who am I kidding? He's not in heaven. So comfortable victory. Sorry, that was uncalled for. That was very uncalled for. Good victory. Yeah, I mean, does it still feel like you're turning a corner, especially now you've won the FA Cup as well? I mean, the League Cup rather. Excuse me.
Not particularly, because it's been 4 days and like two good wins. There are a lot of injuries, so which doesn't help. But no, it doesn't really feel like we're turning a corner. It's sort of like one step forward, so there's always the potential for two steps back, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm always a bit apprehensive to say we've turned a corner, because as soon as you get your hopes up with us, that's when things tend to go backwards again. But it was a good performance against Crystal Palace, I have to say. It's probably the best we've played all season.
Do you think kind of having a bit more of like an uncomplicated centre back in Evans kind of has like brought a bit more normality to you, or
it might have, because Nathan lasts about his age, but he's actually had a couple of good games to be fair. Not a lot, you know, high end clubs we've played, but he's done his job efficiently enough. I mean, this pass of Bruno's goal against Burnley was brilliant. It was, you know, on the dime. And he's the one who had the goal ruled out as well, which was exactly the same as one that stood for Man City, strangely.
Yeah, it's very.
I think as well with Palace, it was kind of more like Casemiro has been very good attacking wise for us, but like everyone can kind of see that the mobility at the back isn't there for the Premier League all of the time. He's a bit off form defensively. So someone like Amrabat, who's got an almighty engine on him, it's allowed Casemiro to get further forward where he has actually got some flair.
He's actually our top scorer.
He seems to pop up with a lot of goals, doesn't he? Like two against Bayern, and now another one against Palace. And he's still an incredibly good defensive midfielder. But he does get overrun, because it's very easy to target him, because either side of him, it's usually attacking players. Like the start of the season, it was obviously Mount and Bruno. And then it's Eriksen and Bruno. So he's sort of left on his own. So maybe sort of like a pivot of Amrabat and Casemiro is where we're ending up, because defensively we're not on form in any way.
No, we've been pretty horrendous at the back. We really have.
So do you think almost kind of, I mean, do you think you'd work better in a double pivot, or do you think kind of like almost like a further forward defensive midfielder, almost similar to Xhaka to a certain extent? Do you think that kind of works better?
Fucking hell, he's won. Well, how many Champions Leagues has Casemiro won, Carl? Is it five?
Something like that, yeah.
Like Xhaka.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But, you know, it's weird that we're even talking about him this way.
Yeah, it is weird. Like Xhaka can...
Hey, Jack, he's pulling up trees in Germany, excuse you.
Five Champions League.
he started
every final.
Yeah, but did he have the house keys when he was younger? You know, I don't think he did. He was given the house keys to his house when he was 7 years old, Granit Xhaka. You know, that's going to be worth something.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got to take what we can get.
I don't think Casemiro is going to play like Xhaka.
I meant as a combo. I didn't mean as an insult.
I think you could have picked someone else.
Oh god, Reese is going to absolutely destroy me for that.
I might just bleep out Xhaka's name for you. I'll just edit in me going Tony Cruz.
He won't listen.
can we say Tom Brownhill or something instead? Can you edit that in?
Do you mean Josh Brownhill?
Whoever the fuck. Yeah, Josh Brownhill.
Carl, is that you?
what about like Jay Adams?
Oh.
Yeah, I think Casemiro's going to play like Shea Adams.
Yeah.
He's going to be up front. He's scoring probably more goals than Shea Adams. I don't think so. Southampton aren't doing very well, are they, at the moment?
God knows. So. I don't pay any attention to him.
I can't even think who's their manager.
It's Russell Martin. Because they got him from Swansea.
Ah.
Lucky them. In other news... In more important news.
To bring it actually back, I think, so to actually finish the point we were on, let's finish the tangent. I think you are right in a way that it is going to allow Casemiro to get further forward, having someone like Amrabat covering, and then they can swap. So I think a pivot could easily work, especially, as we mentioned, with defensive injuries, if it is going to have to be Lindelof or Varane and Maguire or Johnny Evans or whoever, they are going to need cover. Because they can't do kind of like the pushing up when you got Martinez there. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing with the under 21s at the back at this rate.
Hey, hasn't Hannibal done well?
Yeah,
he has actually. Yeah, he looks pretty good.
He looks a really good player. I think we've known he's a good player for a while, and he did well on loan last season at Birmingham. But he's grabbing his chances, and these are the opportunities that don't crop up, because there's no way he would be playing if everyone was fit.
No, exactly.
Starting games and looking very much part of the starting 11.
I mean, so sometimes you need to... Yeah, I mean, if you're playing good, you probably wouldn't get a chance. You know, we only really had Saka and Smith Rowe playing because we were doing so shocking, and Emery got sacked. You know, it is one of those things that... Sometimes you find weird shoots. You know, I mean, it's the same. Mino is still... Is it Mimo? Mino? How do you say his name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
The guy, Man United kid. You know, everyone was saying...
Bobby Mainoo.
Oh, Mainoo. Sorry, I didn't know. I've at least read his name.
Carl's having a week off this week,
isn't he? Oh, I've let him take over.
Yeah, I need to stop talking.
Because you were just on about Arsenal players, I thought you were trying to... tell us about an Arsenal player.
No, I was getting confused. But is he still injured? I know he was coming back from an injury, wasn't he?
They're coming. Him and Ahmed Diallo are back in training, I think early next week.
Okay. It'd be nice to see him get a chance at some point.
Yeah, hopefully.
He was outstanding in pre-season, wasn't he?
I mean, if there's ever a time, you know, it's probably a time when you are kind of rebuilding and finding your feet again, I guess. But, you know, I mean, Mount is back now. Anthony has come back.
Yes, he has. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be playing for a while. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's back in training. But I'm not sure if... Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate for Mainoo, because I feel like he would have got an opportunity at the start of the season regardless. Then he got injured immediately, and now people like Hannibal and then came in, and now he's coming back into training. But people have kind of like stamped their authority on those starting positions in midfield because everyone's come back before him. It's like accidental, imperfect timing just from him on both fronts.
Yeah, it can be really difficult when you've got an injury before the season's really got going and not had a chance to show what you can do. And, you know, others have gone in there and done a good job. It could be difficult for him to nail down a place.
No, but we've seen with Eric that if people don't train well, they don't play. So if he comes in and excels, which he must have been doing to be getting those starting positions in pre-season, there's no reason why he can't come in and kind of like knock on the door again. Because he will, we've got a manager that will give him a chance immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Eric is someone who needs commitment from the players. He needs someone who trains good and someone who's very committed, which I think is why someone like Amrabat is going to be so, you know, I think he's probably going to become a fan favourite.
Well, I think that's why guys like Johnny Evans, like they came in pre-season as a ex-servant of the club to come in to get him fit. And then he's obviously watched a guy and has gone, no, there's something I can do here. Given him a thing, and we all thought, oh, he's just going to be there and be fifth choice. And then all of a sudden, fifth choice was needed. But he's come in, and then everyone's gone, oh, Johnny Evans is still a very capable Premier League defender. Like, so it is nice to have a manager that does that. Whereas in the past with managers, the fault has often been that they've refused to drop people.
Yeah, they've stuck rigidly with their favourites come what may, even when they're not delivering.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a good few days for the club on the pitch. So it depends what has happened by the time people listen to this.
I say same
for my club. So yeah, actually, is there anything you want to touch on with the League Cup game before we move on?
No, we just killed them. I mean, they didn't have a shot for 60 minutes.
Yeah, literally. I mean, just that we played really well, and Mount looked the best he's looked for us in that game, and Amrabat looked a player. Yeah, it was just a really decent performance. It's just now they've got to build on that and keep it up rather than going and losing to Palace in the next
game. Yeah, it was kind of like a training match. I mean, Palace played some of their starting 11, and the guys like Eze and players like that didn't. I'm not even sure if Eze came on.
No, I'm not sure either.
But like, there's some confidence building there because Martial got a goal, which, oh my God, did he need, because he's been really poor so far. So it could be a bit of a confidence builder, but it's about the follow up because it's almost like a closed door friendly, but with an audience a little bit these sort of rounds. Like, it was nice to see Dan Gore, who is a very, very good academy player, come on and get some minutes. I think he played about 20 minutes. So that was really good to see. It's about the follow-up. If we don't beat Palace this weekend, then it doesn't matter that we beat them 3-0 in the middle of the week. And we're back to square one.
It's always interesting when you have a team you play like twice in about a week or like even a few days. It must be very difficult for managers, I imagine.
What happened to us with Villa last year, didn't it? Didn't we lost to Villa in the league quite heavily, and then we smashed them in one of the cups like 3 days later.
Beat him quite comfortably in the cup. It was very bizarre.
So there you go, there's precedent for us to fuck up immediately.
100%.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on and we'll touch on West Brom. They're 13th. Okay, Arsenal. all right. Hey, you know, I had to talk about them for Reese, so
Do you want us to expand on anything?
Oh, on West Brom?
Yeah.
Sure, they lost.
Yeah.
They drew
with Millwall. They haven't won a game for a month.
Yes.
Standard procedure for West Brom.
They had a charity fun run. Where everyone was coloured in paint.
Okay, for any reason?
Not really. No, not really.
Was it one of those rainbow run things?
Maybe. I hear just Garner Gay was very, very noisy. So. Yeah,
shouting on his porch.
There's quite a lot of rainbows. So I think he was quite distraught. I hear.
Did he drive all the way down to Birmingham to share his views?
He did. Yeah. It was very sad. And Blind Dave also has competed for Hadrian Wall Challenge.
Blind Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Dave's been up to.
Yeah, they stick. You can tell I'm just reading the BBC Sports website on.
I think it's great to hear that De Gea's staying busy.
Oh, <Jesus. laughs> Well, if he's blind, it explains why he let in so many weird shots.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. You're a club legend. I couldn't resist. I know he's listening.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I've been trying to avoid talking about Arsenal because, oh my God.
Why? You haven't lost a game this season, have you?
No, I know, but it's just I feel like.
If a draw to Spurs is like a loss to Liam.
Yeah, it's true. You were at home.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It probably does feel like a loss because you.
But they have been really good. I mean, Spurs have been really good, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, it was weird because, I mean, you know, I was like, I was watching this game on the train, and it was frustrating because I feel like we definitely threw the result away. And then, you know, that happens, it's fine. It's the same bit as versus Tottenham. But I just find the whole discourse after it kind of a bit insane. People are acting like they won. And it's like, you drew a game where we basically handed you the goal. It's just like, what's going on here?
Well, they went behind twice. And it's probably more about just a turnaround for Spurs. Because last season, they were so poor. Like, they've already got no European football this season. Like, they've really not got anything. They've just lost their star man to Bayern and all kind of look a little bit lost. They're bringing in, obviously, Ange as well. And he's a bit of an unknown manager, like, just coming. I know he's at Celtic, but you kind of go, right, he's over in Australia, he's over in Japan, he's over in Celtic. It's not a big name, which is what they've had recently. And I imagine they didn't really have a lot of expectations, and it's just been like rock and roll since day one. Like, outside of the League Cup defeat, that they've been spectacular. And then they went a goal down twice and pulled it back. So it probably does kind of feel like a win because it's like last season, what did you beat them at home? Was it like 4-0 or something?
We beat them 2-0 at home. We beat them 3-1 at home, then beat them 2-0 at their place.
Yeah, so you compare it to that and it's like, Jesus. I think you're getting too wrapped up in it, Liam. Like, I wouldn't really worry. Like, it wasn't your best day, but there's reasons for that. And the substitutions, whether they were forced, like the Rice one or not, let you down a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's one of those ones where it hurts because it's them. And, you know, there's reasons you can rationalize. I mean, I think Rice definitely did hurt coming off. And, you know, I'm going to give him credit. Spurs did play well. I just think
they're excellent.
Unfortunately, I was at work when this match was on, so I didn't get a chance to see it. But
what happened at work in the 2 hours? Can you give us a breakdown of that, maybe?
Certain customers. Talking about some of the signs. I mean, Madison's been a great signing for them. He's been really good. I do feel this weekend will be a test for them because their recent record against Liverpool has not been great. So this could be a real test if they can get some sort of result against Liverpool.
Yeah. And this is Liverpool's first big test, really, isn't it? I mean, who else have they faced?
Yeah, it could be Liverpool's first sort of real test as well. But they have looked good. They do seem to concede, but they are winning reasonably comfortable, even though their defence looks a bit shaky at times.
Yeah, the defence is a problem for Liverpool. Like, it's not been very good. It's almost like the midfield's had a good refresh, and it's filled with energy, but they're all very attacking-minded players. So the defence has been kind of exposed, but it doesn't matter if you're conceding two but scoring four. Like, yeah. Every game, does it? You could argue, does it matter? But it will be those games, like this Spurs game, where it's not going to be so easy to be free scoring that they could come unstuck. But the same could be said for Spurs. Like, so it's going to be a really interesting game. And I know they're saying Spurs are going to keep playing how they're playing. But I wonder if he's going to have him sit back a little bit more, because Liverpool could just run straight through them.
I mean, we ran straight through them. Like, we kind of dropped off near the end of the first half. But that first half, we dominated them.
Yeah, but I feel like your threats come from different places. And because of the players that were missing, because it was Jesus on the wing, and as well, it's not Saka. Martinelli wasn't playing.
It was all our pressing. That was our main. Yeah.
I feel like your dangers come kind of from the midfield a little bit, whereas the dangers from Liverpool are definitely going to be Salah. Like, it's going to, if Nunes starts, they've kind of got him to worry about. Then before you even get into the midfield, where the goals are coming from as well, I just wonder if they're going to sit back a little bit more. Or hopefully, I'm hoping as a neutral, they just go for it, because it could just be two teams and it could end like 10-10.
I'm backing Liverpool in it. I mean, maybe it wouldn't surprise you, but I mean, I thought Spurs were good against us, but I wasn't blown away. I kind of feel like they have a very high floor, but very low ceiling. But I don't know. I guess we shall see. It's definitely going to be a fun game, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. But I wouldn't be worried about Arsenal at all. I don't think you need to be worried.
No, I mean, I think we need to be making more chances, but I think that will come with people being fit. And at the moment, we have a lot of people injured.
Yeah, they're not sure of a Saka, are they? Anything's been said in the press conference, but I heard them might have a knock.
Saka, Rice, Partey, injured. It's Martinelli, Leonardo Trossard. It's I mean, who knows? With Arteta, he never really gives anything away.
So you've always got Reece Nelson.
Yeah. You know, I like Reece Nelson, and also I thought Emil Smith Rowe actually played pretty well in the Carabao Cup.
Oh, wasn't it nice to see him back starting?
It was, yeah, nearly 500 days, and it was. He looked good. He looked really good. So
I'm not sure if his future's at Arsenal. I think this needs to be a massive season for him. I think he really needs to stamp his, because how old is he now? 23?
I think so.
Something like that. You need to be starting week in, week out.
Yeah. It's weird. I keep forgetting how young our team is. I mean, even Havertz is only 24, but I feel like he's been around for ages.
I mean, he's got different problems.
Yeah. Although, actually, I will say, I thought Havertz actually played pretty well against Brentford. I think he is slowly improving. I mean, defensively, he's been fantastic. I think the rest of his game is slowly coming on. But I also realise that makes me sound like I'm coping massively.
Yeah, I don't think it's long before Havertz gets dropped. Like, if he doesn't start pulling something out, because he's not meant to come in and just be steady. Like, he's supposed to be a star man. And he just looks like kind of like a very middling midfielder a lot of the time. Like, it's almost like it's probably Chelsea's fault. And I am going to blame Chelsea, because I feel like they've sucked all the joy out of the guy. Because the player from Leverkusen is not there right now. And no, he was really an absolute world beater. And then they stuck him up front. They stuck him in every position bar goalkeeper. And just like sucked all the joy out of him. So he's not playing like that Bundesliga player.
Yeah, it's sad. And usually, I mean, I'm used to sucking the joy out of people, but at least when I do it, they're actually quite happy. But Chelsea just, I don't know. Chelsea are a weird team, because I feel like they actually, I mean, Reese will disagree, but I feel like they are actually improving. They just can't finish for shit.
Well, they're a team of mid-table players. Like, bar a couple of bit, they've bought young players, and they're banking on them improving, and they've given them 7-8 year contracts. But none of them are good to begin with. So it's like that they've just checked the potential of players like you do on FIFA and gone, oh, this kid's rated 60, but he's got potential of 90. Snap him up. And then they're playing these players that aren't ready or aren't there. You need experience around these people, and they don't have any.
Yeah, they've sold all the more experienced players, haven't they? So
yeah. And they're relying on these guys that actually haven't played a lot of football. I know Mudrick is becoming a bit of a meme at this point, but like, he had hardly played any senior football when they just dropped 100 million of him and stuck him in the starting lineup.
Apparently, he beat his manager in the crossbar challenge the other day, so he's ready to come and play now.
Jeez.
Oh, love it.
You just know he won that by accident as well.
He's let him win that one, hasn't he?
Yeah, completely.
It was funny, but he's, I mean, for Chelsea games I've watched recently, he's been playing left wing back.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've seen a few games and he doesn't have a single defensive bone in his body.
I mean, nope. you must think you dodged a major bullet now.
Well, it's weird, because like, when I've seen him, I'm like, I can see why Arteta likes him, because he's really dynamic in terms of 1-2s. He's pretty great, but it's just, yeah, I mean, he seems like someone who's lost all confidence as well.
Yeah, he really has. He's got no confidence at all, bless him.
Yeah, and it feels like no one really cares about Chelsea. Like, I think Reece James is the only one who really cares about Chelsea.
I mean, no one does. I mean, they're on a worse lose streak than us, yet we get loads of heat and everyone's talking about us when we don't win, and yet Chelsea seem to lose and it completely goes under the radar.
I think it just becomes a point where you just become a joke. So even the media reach a point where you are just kicking a dead horse. And you just go, when does Simon Jordan's extreme talk sport rants just become picking on mediocrity?
But there was a cool stat the other day that Leicester have more Premier League goals this year than Chelsea, and they got relegated.
Yeah, they aren't scoring goals because all their goals need to come from poor Nicholas Jackson, who's only just joined the club from Villarreal, where he's a very young player, he's only 22, so he will probably turn out to be a very good striker because he does look good. But again, you're dragging a kid from Villarreal who didn't have a very good season last season.
And he hasn't even been able to hit the Meltzer driver on anyone yet.
maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's bothering.
Maybe he does. But you're sticking him up front and then going, right, we need 25 goals from you, kid.
Yeah. But here's a fact. I know, I mean,
not like we've done something similar with Hoyland already.
Yeah, but we got players that do actually score goals around him. I mean, Rashford's coming off a 32-goal season. Like, he's not started very well. Bruno's always chipping in. Whereas at Chelsea, it's like, right, we've got Jackson. We've got Mudrick, who still hasn't scored a goal. We've just sold Lukaku and Pulisic and everyone else. Who plays on the right? I have no idea who plays on the right for Chelsea now. Someone throw a name at me.
Yeah. McAvady.
Yeah. McAvady. And I mean, he can't even get in the squad at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's literally been left out the last few times.
Yeah. Enzo Fernandez, who doesn't score a lot of goals. Caicedo, who doesn't score a lot of goals. Mason Mount was doing all right for them, so they sold him. Like
Gallagher.
Messi must have made Enzo look brilliant, because he looked a worldie at the World Cup, and since he's been at Chelsea, he's looked very mediocre.
I think that's everybody, but there's no goals in this side. And yeah, defensively, they're a little bit shambolic.
Just to put it in perspective, their goal-scoring woes. And again, take it with a pinch of salt. But in terms of XG, they have 10 XG and have scored 5 goals from that.
Yeah.
So the amount of chances they're making, they should be about 7th or 8th in the league with the amount of, you know, chances that they've created.
Yeah, we still isn't, when you spent £1 billion.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it is. I know they got a lot of injuries as well, but they've spent £1 billion on this squad in the last year.
Yeah, like, how is Conor Gallagher starting for you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher's, like, he is a very good player. Like, but he shouldn't be starting for a side that's hoping to push for major honours. Like,
I mean, they're only winning this season's Luton, so can you even count that? in the league then, anyway.
I say that about Conor Gallagher, but when he went on loan at Crystal Palace, he was arguably at times one of the best midfielders in the league. And then he slots back in at Chelsea and he becomes a joke again. And then you look at all the players that they've let go, like Lukaku, who's scoring goals for Roma, even though Roma are in shocking form. Like Aubameyang is scoring goals over in France. Like everyone that leaves them seems to go on and do better because it's almost like they get a bit of freedom.
Yeah, I think there's something seriously wrong at Chelsea, which, you know, might come to light at some point, but things can't be right because, as you say, some good players have gone there and they're just so poor.
I mean, yeah. Cole Palmer's not a bad player, but again, they spent 40 million on him.
And again, sold another youth prospect in Lewis Hall, who looked like a good player, and they just bin him off.
He's a great player, yeah.
I mean, perhaps when you're earning 200,000 on an 8-year contract, you think, ah, fuck it.
I think that'll definitely come down to, I think the constant managerial changes is very Chelsea. They've done it for 20 years, and they'd always seem to end with trophies. But I think the problem is, I would 100% bet that the problem is that they are buying players, but it is not the decision of someone who actually knows the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Who's buying these players? I think they're just going, oh, this kid's good on Football Manager. Here you go, Maurizio. It's just like, who the fuck is this goalkeeper?
Well, apparently Pochettino is now going to be in charge of transfers, at least for January. So I guess that's a start.
Yeah, here we go. In comes, let's bring in Harry Winks back. Eric Dyer, I've got a job for you, lad.
Oh, man. Jeez. You know, I think they could sign Kane and they'll still be shocking.
Yeah. Kane will get like 30 goals, but they'll still finish 17th. He's doing great at Bayern. Has he got 8 goals in 7 games?
Yeah. I mean, he played shit against you, but...
he was marshalled out the game, apart from the penalty.
He's never had the best record against us, has he, for some reason or another? But apparently he scored a hat-trick that doesn't count in Germany because they weren't all in the same half or something.
What? Oh, yeah, that's a weird German thing.
They have to score their goals in the same half to be a hat-trick.
Something like that.
I think it's like their perfect hat-trick has to be in the half or something. I don't even know what it is.
Can you imagine all these three referees who don't speak English trying to explain to Harry Kane why he can't take the ball home?
Oh, I wonder how his German lessons are getting on.
Depends if his teacher's back from holiday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I still can't believe that, like, this press conference was like 4 weeks ago now, so I don't know why I'm still mad about it. But that journalist had one question to ask Harry Kane, and you asked him, how is your German? Why?
I mean, to be fair, I would ask that just with a hope that he'll try and speak it.
Not in a press conference for England. Although he could have said anything, and all the journalists, none of them would have spoken German. They would have been like, brilliant. He's doing great.
I mean, someone asked Arteta in the most recent press conference if his goalkeeper's surname is going to begin with R. So
if these fucking people are paid so
much. Where do they get these fucking questions from, honestly?
God, it costs like 10 grand a year to go to university in this country. You get your chance and it's just horse shit like that. But yeah, Harry Kane's doing great. Bayern look good. They got Leipzig this weekend.
It's quite funny though that Spurs and Madrid now doing better now that Harry Kane's gone though. Interesting.
That Spurs who reached the Champions League final with Harry Kane up front.
Yeah, I mean, even he shat the bed.
Yeah, but you still got to get there. Everyone shat the bed in that game, to be fair.
Yeah, even Liverpool.
Yeah, it was a crap final.
It was horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a poor one.
I heard the most recent one was worse. I can be bothered to watch it, to be honest.
The Man City one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. It's just boring.
Speaking of City, do you think I mean, obviously City have now gone out of the Carabao Cup to Newcastle, which was quite a surprising result. But I mean, Newcastle looked like they did quite well. I don't know. Do you think that with Rodri serving the suspension, do you think someone could beat him?
Yeah, I think it's always Yeah, definitely. I think they are there for the taking at times. Like, I think sides get a bit intimidated by City at times and just sit back. I think that's what Forest did. And then as soon as obviously Rodri got sent off, Forest came to life, like, and actually did some stuff. So I think they will have a couple of losses. I don't think City aren't going to lose many games, but someone could certainly beat them. I don't think anyone's going to get near them in the league though.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for anyone to challenge them, I think, again. But we can hope.
With the UK government getting involved in the Premier League charges, I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone to get near them.
Absolutely. Also, how unlucky is it that, you know, Rodri is suspended for the game against Wolves, the game against Arsenal, the game against Brighton, and then the next game is against Man United.
Typical.
We'll just mark him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Wolves do a madness on Saturday.
Nah, Wolves are rubbish.
Yeah, I don't have much hope.
They can't score, can they? That's
No,
they can't. They can't score at all. They got. I don't even know who they got up front now. They got rid of Jimenez, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he really would have helped him, to be honest.
No, he hadn't scored since he came back from that horrendous injury. He didn't quite look up to it.
No.
So of course Fulham bought him.
Yeah. I mean, they have Neto. Neto started the season strongly, I guess.
Yeah, Neto and his 50 celebrations. Have you seen that meme?
No, I heard about it, but I heard that he just did like 1,001 celebrations.
Yeah. In like 30 seconds, he just did like so many of the FIFA celebrations. He like lost his mind.
He's making up for lost time, I suppose.
Yeah, that's his one goal for the season.
Yeah. So what game besides your own are you guys most looking forward to for this weekend?
You know, I don't even know who's playing this weekend. Well, I know who's playing, but I don't know who they are paired with.
I mean, probably what we said before, like the Liverpool Tottenham game is definitely an intriguing match that I'll definitely have an eye on.
I'm going to go for an outside one because the early kickoff is always unpredictable. But Aston Villa v Brighton, 12:30 Saturday. Let me know if it was any good at Nathan Adler 92.
Yeah, the dog certainly thinks so.
Mm. Yeah, he's really excited. He fucking loves Josh McGinn, so he's very happy that he scored against Chelsea. He's hoping he follows it up strong.
Clearly more than you because you got his fucking name wrong.
But did I? What did I say?
You said Josh McGinn.
Oh, I'm still thinking of Josh Brownhill.
No.
Just can't get him off my mind.
You're all turning into me today. What's going on?
Yeah, Carl, can you say a name wrong? Just make us feel better.
Yeah, if you don't mind, that would be great.
What were you, Carl?
As I say, Tottenham, Liverpool for the match other than our own. None of the others up. That really, you'd expect City to beat Wolves. West Ham will probably beat Sheffield United. Newcastle Burnley could be interesting, I suppose. Everton Luton, that's a big 6-pointer at the bottom of the table already. Yeah.
I don't know. Everton are playing all right the last couple of games. They have
started playing a fair bit better actually. So.
Fulham versus Chelsea for the superiority of West London.
Yeah, that would be good. These are all the 3 o'clock kickoffs, though. So, of course, because we live in the country that they're taking place, we're not allowed to watch them.
Yeah, well, we can watch the Chelsea one. We're not going to, but we could.
Is that Monday night?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I can't see the Fulham and Chelsea. No,
Monday night.
I was still looking on Saturday.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
You're not looking forward to Super Sunday, Nottingham Forest v Brentford.
Oh, yeah, got first class seats for that one.
God. Also, did you guys know that Brentford basically put out their strongest team versus us in the Carabao Cup, and they fucking lost?
Well, they don't really have any other players, do they?
No.
I suppose not. But that's very surprising, though. Oh, you know what? Next Tuesday, Luton versus Burnley. Whew. What game next that'll be?
Oh my God, that's gonna be a real doozy.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's the Ryder Cup as well. There's hardly any matches on Sunday this weekend. So
Oh, really?
So they were saying on the radio, but I don't know if it's something to do with the broadcasting or players wanted to watch it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the reason that was given the other day anyway on the radio.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say this. Golf sucks.
Yeah.
Golf is terrible.
Here's the thing. If your match was originally selected for showing on a Sunday, then why can't you just fucking show it on another day? Why not just put it on a Monday? You know, like, or even Tuesday.
Insane rules that just make it, which is why it's so insane that football costs so much money to watch in this country.
Yeah.
Because you need 17 streaming services, like 10 satellite dishes on your house. And then you're not allowed to watch any of them at 3 o'clock. And you can't watch any on Sunday afternoon because the fucking Ryder Cup's on.
Well, apparently, some of our rearranged matches, even though no one else was playing, they weren't allowed to televise it.
Yeah. Because
it was originally scheduled not to be on TV, so they're not allowed to change it. Which seems daft, but there you go.
Which is why Man City decision will never ever be made, because you're idiots like that in charge.
Yeah. So especially with, you know, the UK government talking about Man City do Saudi Arabia or Qatar. I think it's Qatar, actually. Or was it Arab Emirates? Yeah. I can't remember who it was.
They don't want to upset them or something, do they, apparently? So they don't want to touch it, basically.
It's so stupid.
I'm sure they'll get away with it.
Yeah. Yep. It's not like they're fucking contributing to our economy, really.
No.
Unless Pep gets into some sort of trouble with all this corruption charges going on at Barcelona at the moment, because a lot of it was under his tutelage, wasn't it? So
yeah, suspicious that. It's almost like there's a pattern.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Guardiola's ever been found twice, you know, doing steroids in a match. That's never happened. Definitely not why he had to go to Saudi Arabia. No, absolutely not.
They just paper over. They do not mention these things at all, do they? They like to pretend he's some sort of angel that they've put something wrong.
Yeah. And just definitely everyone listening, do not look up Pep Guardiola's opinions on racism in Spain. It's not an interesting read. It's definitely not. It's certainly not your homework for this week. There we go. Poor Pep.
Yeah, but yeah, poor Pep. I'm starting to think that maybe Spain has a racism problem. I don't know.
No idea about that, man. Let us know if you live in Spain. @Rogue_opinion.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, Pep's never becoming a Patrick, so
no.
But let's move on to people who are Patricks.
Yeah, fuck my ball, dude. Carl, who's your Patrick?
I couldn't think of one, so I haven't got one. I just can't be asked. So I don't bother.
Jesus.
Carl, you okay?
Fine.
Are you upset about Pep?
Oh yeah, devastated. He's my hero.
Yeah, I don't blame you. No. Nathan, what about you?
My Patrick this week is a man who stands up for us all. He speaks loudly and proudly for the silent majority.
Oh no.
I'm gonna put Lawrence Fox in as a Patrick. I think he's had the best week any of us have ever had. I think he's really bounced back from that time that he burnt a pride flag in his garden whilst clearly on drugs. I think he's done amazing things since blackfacing up his kids and broadcasting it on Twitter. And I think that him dragging all the other rats down with him makes him certainly eligible to join Goebbels in the Patricks.
I got Goebbels in there.
That was an interesting week.
We don't talk about that week. I'm going to go for a post which I'm going to put in the Skype chat right now. Okay. And it is a post commiserating Harvey Barnes' injury, where it makes it look like he's died.
It really does, doesn't it?
God.
Which I mean it's very sad he's out for the season, but I mean, you know,
is this like a parody channel, or is this like a serious channel?
I think it's an official one. It's like when we held up Urine Timber's shirt when we played a football game. It's like, yeah, he twisted his knee. He didn't fucking die, you know?
Yeah. For those, it's from Official Football Community on Instagram, and it says, tragic Harvey Barnes news has been confirmed today. The footballing world is in a state of shock, crying emoji. This isn't fair.
And it has a photo of him.
God, yeah, making it sound a lot more than a bit of a footballing injury, aren't they? God.
Yeah. So,
but I didn't realise. Maybe we should have started off with a eulogy.
Maybe should have, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Nate, Carl, as you couldn't think of a Patrick this week, you can decide, mate.
I've got to go for the Harvey Barnes one, I think.
You're not going to go for the racist, the bastard? Wow.
Don't say that. We'll have his lawyers on us.
Yeah, bloody hell. Oh,
yeah, true.
We'll be in big trouble.
Lawrence, yeah. I'm a big fan, personally.
Yeah, huge, huge fan. It definitely wasn't weird how you set up a multi-camera thing, neither of which were in any good quality, to do your apology video in front of it was like a halogen light that just said, reclaim the media or something.
What is it with these weirdos and terrible apology videos?
It's just all the drinking, I think, is what it is.
How the fuck did he marry Billy Piper? I never understand that.
Are they still together?
I can't
remember.
No,
she knows how to pick him, doesn't she? Chris Evans. And,
yeah.
was she with Chris Evans?
Yeah,
she's not Captain America, the Raging DJ.
Which wasn't at all, you know, inappropriate, because he was like, that was enough to be a dad.
Oh, God, I should have put Dane Cook in the Patricks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Too late.
I'll go for Dane Cook then. I don't know why, but we seem to need to get him in there, so that's who I'll go for.
51-year-old Dane Cook, Carl, who married his 24-year-old
That's it. Yeah, I did. I remember seeing that now.
Six years. They were very specific about that 6 years.
Yeah, that's... God, that is creepy, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
God.
That 6 years was in bold and underlined.
Yeah. He's very good friends with Jerry Seinfeld. I wonder what they have in common. Strange coincidence. God, anyway,
we are off the rails.
Yeah, without talking about any more weird Hollywood creeps, it's time to say goodbye.
Well, further congratulations to Harvey Barnes. I hope this makes you feel better from your.
I thought you were going to congratulate me on my job, but okay, sure.
I thought it was that as well.
Yeah, no, we haven't confirmed that Harvey Barnes' injury is now a Patrick. Or is it Harvey Barnes the person?
This is the article, whatever it is Liam was submitting.
It was not an article.
Harvey Barnes is memorial post.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Absolutely. All right, goodbye, everyone.